Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Feel something? Something going on in there, huh? I try not to sing too much because I don't want everybody to leave the show. So I'll leave that singing up to others. But, man, exciting time to be alive. Great day to be alive. 14th day of January 2021. This year is going to fly by like we can't even imagine. Got a lot of good stuff I want to share with you today. In fact, yeah, there it is. Do I have that? Yeah. Okay, cool. Let me do a little bit of homework or shop work or administrative stuff here very quickly before we get moving on. I've been getting a lot of, not a lot, but I've been getting requests about huddles. People would like to put together huddles. And Gary Pierce has been really working really, really hard behind the scenes to try to, we're trying to bring our database. Please stay with me, okay? It's going to be worth it. Trying to bring our database together because we hear from people regularly and say, hey, Coach, I'd like to get together with people in my state. Who is it, Coach? Who's here in my state? And to be honest with you, we have a mailing list that's pretty extensive, probably 6,000 people on our email mailing list. But those aren't necessarily the people that are in the huddle and understand the huddle. It's a different list. So Gary's been working really, really hard to try to pull all of that thing together so that when somebody like Steve Deck says, hey, Coach, can you give me a list of people in New Jersey? We're going to be able to say, bang, here's a good list of people from New Jersey. We found out, Gary found out as he began to put all this together. Listen, Hebrews 10:24, let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And we are a unique group of people in here. Call it whatever you want to, we are. And so Gary, I was looking at the list, one of the lists that Gary put together yesterday. And I said, well, wait a minute, Gary, where's Joe's address? And Gary said, well, Joe hadn't signed up. I said, what do you mean he hadn't signed up? I'm using Joe as an example. I said, what do you mean he hasn't signed up? He's in the queue every day. He said, yeah, but he's never signed up. I said, well, what? And he showed me a list of Wisconsin, and Wisconsin had about 5 people. And I said, Wisconsin? We got all kinds of people in Wisconsin. He says, I know, but they haven't signed up. He said, I can't put them in the database if they don't sign up. They don't sign up. So I said, well, we're going to take care of that first thing this morning. So here, I've got up on the screen. I don't know whether you guys listen on a computer. I don't know whether you listen on your phone. This is so – listen, if you want to be part of huddles, not if you want to be on the mailing list, not if you just want to watch the show, if you would be interested in joining a get-together of like-minded people in your area, I'm going to walk you through exactly what we need you to do. It's very, very simple. It's going to take us 30 seconds. Some of you can do it live right now as we do it, or some of you can do it later. But I want to show you exactly how to be able to do that. So you go to CoachDaveLive.com, which we have up on the screen, right? Friends, I'm going to try to connect you with other like-minded people in your area. We're not going to bombard you with requests and money requests. We don't do that here, okay? We send out informational newsletters and that kind of stuff, but we don't bombard you every day. Hey, I need $30 for this and $20. We don't do that. And we're not going to use this list to be able to do that. But I will tell you this. If you sign up on this list and we have somebody, let's say Oklahoma, somebody in Oklahoma wants to organize a huddle, we will probably share your name with the people in Oklahoma so that it can help pull the group together. Okay. Thumbs up if you guys understand what we're trying to do here. Okay. So all you need to do up on the screen, or if you go to CoachDaveLive.com, at the top it says sign up, email sign up. But it's really not an email sign up, but that's what it is. All you have to do is click on this. And this is so simple. Thank you, Spencer. Go ahead and click on it. And look, here's what pops up. And this is the only information we want from it. And you can do it right stinking now, okay? You can see we want your name, your first name, last name, your email address, your phone. You don't have to give us your phone, but you don't have to, but it helps us when people get to get, we need a phone number. We need a contact. Okay. And then it's very, very simple. Then we ask you 3 questions. How would you like to participate? 1, receive coaches' weekly and monthly updates. 2, participate in local brigade meeting activities. 3, organize a huddle. And that's all you got to do. Just do that for us. You can do it right now. Go there, give us your name, your address, your phone number, and answer those three questions. How would you like to participate? And then just hit boom. I'm not a robot. Boom. Submit. And then we have it, and we will compile the information, and we'll put it together. Because my brain went dead on me. We're trying to put together these huddles all across. Now's the time, man. No, we're behind the eight ball, actually. And so we want to come up with a compiled list so that when somebody calls me and says, Coach, I'd like to do a huddle, I say, okay, good. Here's the people in your state. Okay. For instance, right now we have interest in a huddle in Wisconsin, a strong interest. Somebody wants to organize it and do it. And we went to the list. Gary showed me the list yesterday, and it only had about six Wisconsin people. I said, that's crazy. I said, I know 15. And he said, well, they haven't signed up. So there you go, right? So you should be done with it. You should have already done it while we were talking. If you haven't, please do that at some point today, okay? Anybody have any questions about something as simple as this? Because it is pretty simple, but it's pretty important. And I'm sorry to take the time to do this, but I think it's critical. Okay. Second thing, while we're on that page, let me get over and see if there's any hands coming up in the air. I'm getting a little bit more proficient at this system over here. Is that what I want? No, I think this is what I want. There we go. Tim, Naomi, did you have a question?
It's Naomi.
Uh-huh.
I know I went through the process and I saw the questions, how would you like to participate, but I cannot remember if I clicked on any of those. So do we do it again anyway?
Yes, good question. We will pull out all duplicates. We'll get all duplicates out of there. So if you're like what Naomi just said, you did it, but you're not sure if you did it correctly, do it again, and then we'll get the duplicates out of there. Great question. Clay?
Yeah, Coach, I just... I want to add, there's also a national map on there, and the states that have leaders set up are in red. And if they click on the one of those red states, if it's in your area, you can contact the leader that's in your area through email by clicking on that state.
Well, with a good point, Clay. We're working to try to just get everybody in the system right now. Once we get everybody in the system, then we'll become more proactive on that. So. Thanks, man. Thanks for all that you're doing down there. Now, I want to show you something else on the website. Jared Heath, who runs our he's the brains behind what we're doing here. He's the tech guy. Jared's made a little video. Jared's going to do two things for us that I think are really, really important. Number one, Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Jared is going to set up for us, believe it or not, our own little Facebook, just of us, just a social network where we can post and communicate with each other. I don't know what the name of it is. Mike, maybe you can give me a little bit of background of what that whole thing's about, what we would call it or whatever, but it's going to be a social network that we can all come in. It'll be closed just to us. We're not going to offer it to, well, you can offer it to other folks if you want to, but we don't want just every Tom, Dick, and Harry in here. It's a closed communication system that we'll be able to use. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it's already, I don't know if it's live, but Spencer can show it if it is. It's called CoachDaveLive.social, CoachDaveLive.social. It's your Twitter, Coach. I mean, the most potent thing that Donald Trump did was to co-opt Twitter. And in fact, he was so effective that they deleted him, the President of the United States. So anyway, now you have your own Twitter that can't be deleted. It's called CoachDaveLive.social. Coach, anyone on the planet can go to CoachDaveLive.social and see your tweets or see your Facebook post.
Awesome, man.
Anybody awesome. On the planet. And nobody can cancel it. Nobody. And everybody listening to me right now can join it. And you can make posts and you can comment and you can like and you can make friends and you can connect and you can be social. This is the new internet, Coach. CoachDaveLive.social.
And it'll help us communicate and spread what we're doing with other like-minded people. This is Jared's done all this, folks, and Jared is something. So, can I be honest with you? I don't really know how it works. So I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get going on it today. But this is something Mike told me last week that Jared had already set up from. So it's Coach Dave Live Social, and it's our own little
Facebook gathering. I feel like Twitter, whatever, where we're able to communicate. Then I want you, those of you out there who are involved, like I know Bobby Lee makes a lot of videos, and some of you about JR, I know he's got a, has a program, and David Arthur out there has a program. I want to just play this quick little video that Jared, some of you don't even know Jared. Jared is Mike's son, and Jared is the one who makes this whole thing go behind the scenes. And Jared made a little business video that I want to share with you today. Go, yeah, it's about 3 minutes. Go ahead and play that real quick.
My name is Jared Heath. I'm the owner and CEO of Alpha Technology. Right now in the United States, the political and ideological climate is crazy. And we have delved into it since our founding 5 years ago with the idea that electricity will still be around and the internet will still be around. I've been building services and providing services in a way where I would be able to teach others how to do it as well as do it myself. So we use things like Docker, regular PC computers, Honda affordable generators to run our own company. And it's a, right now, my clients, we've kept people up 99% of the time, and they're satisfied. One of my customers recently, they were just kicked off of Facebook and YouTube temporarily, and we didn't miss a beat. Why? Because we self-host our own data. We own the data, and he knows who I am, and he trusts me, Jared Heath, as a person and as a technical service provider. Own your data. Own it. Have your son start learning about it and learning how to host your content for your business. Teach other people how to do it. Think of a distributed data center. Little data centers instead of the big Amazon data center that owns 30 to 40% of the internet. Small little local data centers. Then you'll know your data guy. Okay? He'll run your social media platform. We just recently started a local social media platform here where I'm at. You'll be able to work locally, and as a doctrine of the lesser magistrates, you'll be able to resist the tyranny from above because you'll be the people who are actually together. So when the tyrannical authorities come down, you'll at least have a better chance, and you'll have trust with your neighbors, and you'll have a better chance to survive. Hopefully it doesn't get violent, but the goal is to survive online and to keep communicating, both globally, but also locally. You can contact us, fill out the form, hire us for a consultation. We're busy, we're growing a lot, and we're trying to help keep Christians online. A little bit about me, just to finish this off. I was a United States Marine. I am a United States Marine for 8 years. I served in Iraq 2 times, 2 tours, 7 months each. I became an embassy guard after that, and I served in 3 embassies. Finland, Syria, and Cuba. I was in the Syrian embassy when it was overrun. We evacuated that embassy. The Cuban embassy was a special duty post where you have to take special training to be aware of how government and espionage works and how they might end up trying to get information out of it. I have a top secret clearance, did the polygraph test, and I do want to say that I was there at the march on January 6th, and it was the most patriotic thing I've ever done. And from my history, I've done quite a few patriotic things. But justice is patriotic, and we need justice in our country. So do your part, tell the truth, and don't be afraid. And if you need help, fill out the form below, and we'll see if we can help or we can point you in the right direction. All right, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Amen. Jared's the best, man. We've been with him for 4 years, and that's for all of you out there. That's the guy that's we're dealing with, and every problem we have, man, he takes care of almost me. 5 years, it'll be 5 years on the 25th of this month. It's unbelievable. Yes, Mark.
Just real quick, I'd like to throw out, if you've accumulated data and you have it stored in the quote cloud, that's Drive, Dropbox, or even if you have YouTube videos out on YouTube, all of that could be turned off. All that could be just disconnected from you and it's gone. So if you do have archive videos you want to preserve, talk to Jared. He's got a way to preserve your videos that you've accumulated and worked for. He's got a way to accumulate your life's work. Okay, so if you want to store your data offsite out of your home and not with Google, call Jared. Very smart. Thanks, Jared. Thanks,
yeah, because it's really important, folks. If you don't have your own private servers, which Jared has set up for us, they can get rid of you at any time. Now, let's be honest. If the internet goes down, Jared goes down, right? But he still has maintained the data there. So there's no really foolproof way that your data will always be out there. But as long as there is an internet, if you're connected with Jared, your information will be stored and be safe. Mike or Jared, is there anything that I ought to add to that?
Real quick. I mean, with that, the strength of this thing, of what I'm talking about, is the idea of the distribution of the hardware, right? The weak point is your local internet service provider. So part of this is, yes, you know, hosting it with us is good. Hosting it yourself is better. So my purpose is to train. I would like to train people how to do what I do. I'm going to start a Zoom call every Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. to field questions. So that's like the free version. If you want a paid consultation, right? If you want a paid consultation, then that's the website. We'll have a spot on our website today to sign up for an email, and we'll do a Zoom call 8 to 9 a.m. Saturdays.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I want to train people. You know, one of the things I might do is one of the shows I might walk through how to buy Bitcoin from opening, what to buy, opening it, all on the conference call, right? Opening it, driving to the gas station, putting the $20 in, getting your Bitcoin. I'll show you how to do it. Next week, we'll show you how to create a server. You know, just stuff like that. So 8 to 9 a.m. Saturday.
This Saturday, you're beginning that, Jared?
Yes, sir. So it'll be email invite only. So I'll have a subscribe form on my website.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
We'll get that up today.
Yeah, hey, good. Can I put in here that Friends of Liberty United has been using Jared since we started? And every time we have a special need for internet functionality or something like that, he has come through like a champ.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So he's trustworthy and efficient.
Amen. Amen. Hey, he's a man of his word.
Hey, Coach, can you
hear
me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Real quick, as governor of Maine, I am going to force towns to own their data.
Hey, amen.
You know, this is so simple. You know, it's like the voting problem. This is so simple. Everybody lives in a little town. Polling places are very small places. Paper ballots, chain of custody, transparent, total, absolute transparency in the counting, no machines. Period. Simple. Done. Fixed.
And then, is that force or violence? Is that force or violence? Make up your mind.
With respect to data, the towns need to own their data. It's now possible. We don't have to have all this top-down stuff. So there. Didn't understand your point, Jack. Come on in.
Mike Heath's running for governor of Maine, and he's going to make Maine American again. Make Maine American again. That's my slogan for you, Mike. One more thing. Jared, pull up. Spencer I'm working with today? Spencer, pull up the Go Therefore conference. Mike Spaulding, our good buddy Mike Spaulding, is having a conference. It's the War is Here Summit. And if you click on the view the schedule, crazy me, I don't have in my head the date. I do things in calendar books, right? When is it, man? When is it? There it is. I'm sorry. March 5th and 6th in Ohio. Okay. Again, this is a good time for us to get together, have fellowship, all that kind of stuff. Speakers, maybe you can pull that up there real quick. It's only $20 per person. So it's all good. Dr. Spaulding, Jamie Walden, he's worth the price right there. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, I'd pay to hear him, I think. David Paxton, Neil Peterson, it ain't going to be fluff, all right? He started it out, it was going to be a men's only event, and then they decided, women, we need women to come too. So there you go, March 5th and 6th, go to, this is always hard for me to remember. What's the website? GoTherefore.com, I think it is. GoTherefore.com. GoTherefore.com. It's only $20. Be a good event. March, it's just a couple months away. Okay. Cool. Remind me about this to continue to remind others about it. Good chance for us to get together, see each other eyeball to eyeball. Boom. Anybody have anything for the good of the group here before I dive into some of the stuff I want to talk about this morning? Anybody? You want to leave anybody laying along the highway here? Yes, Rochelle.
I'll only take a second. I just thought yesterday's discussion was really good, and it made a full circle in my mind, and it kind of landed. And I just wanted to kind of give you my conclusion is that basically, I guess it's a replay of the book of Acts until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
What really wins the souls to Christ. So.
Amen. Amen, Rochelle. I appreciate that. That reminded me of something. Friends, please help. Let's help each other out here, okay? I'm banned on Facebook for 30 days, so I think I'm about eight. We're back on YouTube, so you can start watching on YouTube. In fact, Jared did a great job and went back and uploaded all the programs that we missed on YouTube. They're now up online. Folks, listen. We have to help one another with data and info. And if Bobby Lee puts out a good video, share it on Facebook or wherever it is, share it. We have to become our own distribution center. We have to word of mouth. We have to make this become word of mouth. I can't post anything on Facebook right now, nothing. So you have to post for me. You got to do it. You got to take some of the stuff, whether it be the show, whether it be a commentary, whatever it is, post it. If I get on my Facebook page and I see Bobby Lee's made a video, I share it. If I see Mike Heath has written something, I share it. You understand, this isn't hard, man. Come on, we have to begin to do that because I'm personally, but like I used to bale hay. And you'd walk along the hay wagon and you'd pick up the bale and you'd throw it on the hay wagon. The baler would spit out the bales. And then the wagon would come along and you'd pick up the bale and you'd throw it on the wagon. That's kind of what I feel like we're doing here. We're rolling down the road and every once in a while there's a bale and I pick it up and I throw it on the wagon. Pick up another one and throw it on the wagon. And after a while, we got a whole wagon load. So our wagon is beginning to expand, get larger. And we need your help. Man, I got to get going. I got some great stuff. Yeah, go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, what the enemy is intended for evil, God truly does turn it around for good. Woodrow Wilson says, if you want to change a future, you got to change the past. And I will say this past year, I love American history. Brother, it has been the civics lesson that has lasted all year. I'm just learning now that the original inauguration day was March 4th. It was not January 20th, and that changed in 1937 under Roosevelt. It's just an incredible year.
Amen. Hey, our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? So I hope you understand when you come here, you're going to get a little bit of the culture, a little bit of history, a little bit of civics, and a little bit of Jesus. And we put that thing in there and we stir it up together. And hopefully it's some way we're going to bake out a bale of hay. That's going to make some sense. Cool. All right. Got some good stuff to share with you today. I want to share I wrote a commentary this today that I think is worth sharing. And I'm going to pull it up there for me, Spencer. I'm going to read it and share it with others. Jared will have it up on our website here soon. That's it, yeah. That's it. And I entitled it, the commentary, "The Castration of the Christian Male." Somebody say amen right there. Just give me a thumb. You don't say amen. Just give me a thumb.
Amen,
stop.
Amen.
The castration.
Amen.
So I'm gonna read it. It says, warning, harsh language may offend women and men who act like women. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. That's 1 Corinthians 16:13. Despite what the evangelical leadership may try to convince you, quit does not mean stop, as in stop being a man. It's just the opposite of that. Paul's admonition here is to exhort Christian men to man up, not give up. Webster's defines quit as to carry through, to do or perform something to the end so that nothing remains, to discharge or perform completely, to empty out When you quit, you have emptied out everything about you. You've emptied, you've laid it all in. You've laid it all out there, baby. Quit ye like men. Empty the cannons. Modern pulpits have pussified the American male. If you're offended by the word pussified, I suggest you read no further. You are the problem I'm preparing to write about. I am 100% Christian, blood bought, fire baptized, and endued by the Holy Spirit from on high. I can sin with the best of them, although I no longer do. And I'm a proud draftee into the army of God. Jesus rescued me from a one-way train to hell and commissioned me as a soldier of the cross. I hate sin, the devil, and the workers of iniquity. I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been faithfully writing commentary since 2003. It's not my profession, and I do not get paid a cent for anything I write. My target audience is Christians, but I find it hard not to be locked inside some category that others want to place me in. I focus on truth. My desire to encourage Christians to stand up and fight for the truth. Fight! But that doesn't sound very Christian, does it? I'm not considered a fan of pastors. Most of them are weenies. For the most part, they are the ones who are responsible for the mess that America is in today. In a time when America most needed wartime pastors, America's pulpits are filled with skinny-jeaned charlatans who have sucked out of the men what little testosterone remained from the nuclear war that feminism raged against once God-fearing men. That's a paragraph right there, baby.
Amen.
Harsh men have become anathema to Christianity. And we are in the mess we're in because Christian men have been taught to act and fight like women. Nothing against women. I married one. We have 2 daughters and 5 granddaughters. I love and respect them all. But women are not men.
That's
despite
right.
Despite what your pastor may model for you. And only an emergency transfusion of testosterone can save American Christianity. That'd be a good
idea. Yeah,
I'm on it. I'm over the target.
Amen.
I do a daily podcast designed to awaken the heart of men. I'm not writing this as a means of self-promotion, but simply evidence that I walk my talk. My career as a football coach taught me how to motivate men. What makes their hearts beat fast? And what drives them to be the best they can be. Turn on your TV and watch a football game. Ask yourself this simple question. Do any of the men you see on the field remind you of any pastor?
No.
The answer is obvious. Skinny jeans and poofed hair have no place on the gridiron. Football field's a battlefield.
Yes, and it is.
Weak men need not apply. Does the average man sitting in America's pews have the gonads to do what our forefathers did? Brave Christian men forged this nation.
Yes, they did.
Soft Christian men are about to lose it.
That's right.
A few years ago, I was working hard to try to convince a friend that he needed to surrender to Jesus. I told him that serving Christ was the most exciting adventure I had ever been on, and it is. Yeah. Finally, he grew tired of my overtures and kindly said to me, Dave, I love you and I love what you do, but I'm not interested in being a Christian because I don't want to have to give up my balls. Mic drop, huh? True story. True story. How many other men have the same reaction to Christianity? Christianity's for sissies. Real men drive for NASCAR. I don't want to give up my balls. What a sad indictment of the Christian male. A pushover, a softy, a compromiser. Like it or not, that's the image many Americans have of Christian men. Ponder this. If you were sitting on the outside looking at churchmen, if you were looking at us, what is it about us that would draw other men? Why would any real man want to give up his manhood to follow Jesus? Come on, I'm over the target. But they don't have to, you see. Christianity is masculine. Mm-hmm. All the heroes in the Bible were alpha males. Even young shepherd boys slew giants. John the Baptist was rugged. How about Samson, Moses, and David's mighty men? Where, for God's sake, did we get the idea that Christian men were soft? Wow. I hadn't read this. America is under siege. Our very way of life is under attack like no time in history. Our compromised and sissified church leadership is incapable of mounting any opposition to the forces of darkness. Our pastors are in hiding from a virus, for Pete's sake. Scared to death of their governor. Currently, the American Christian male is no threat to the forces of darkness ravaging this nation. Thousands of babies are being aborted every day. Child trafficking is more lucrative than the drug trade. The God-ordained institution of marriage has been hijacked by sexual deviance. The future of America, our children, are herded like cattle into a government school system that teaches the exact opposite of what they are taught from their Bible. Pastors do not utter a peep as a rigged election is stolen right before their very eyes. William Merrill, 1911, wrote a song, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom tarries long. As faithful workmen watch and pray and light the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Your strength unequal to the task, but Christ in you is great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." The average Christian male is guilty of treason, not to the government, but to the God they claim to serve. What are you afraid of? Stand up and fight. Grow a pair. Quit ye like men.
Boom, Coach.
Amen.
Boom.
Amen.
Boom. Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Over the target, Coach. Awesome.
That's Amen. It, right? That's it.
Amen.
You know, I could do it right now. I could do right now a poll. I could do an interview. I could do whatever you would call it. I could do a what do they call that? A survey right now, right here in this 99 people that are in there. Hey, man of God, tell me something. Tell me how your pastor's peed on you. Would you tell me something that you did and your pastor peed all over it? And we could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of godly men who had a urge in their heart to do something, and they went to their pastor, and their pastor peed on them. I was in a church. I was a warrior sitting in a church trying to be obedient to a pastor. And I was sitting in a Bible study, a men's meeting that he was doing. I won't tell you the name. I was sitting in a men's meeting. You know, you've been there, right? The men's meeting where you all sit there and act like you're all holy and right. I was sitting in one of those meetings, and he was talking about telling us about the characteristics of Jesus. And all of a sudden, I couldn't help it. You know me. So I raised my hand. I said, Pastor, listen, let me ask you something. Jesus said in Matthew that all those ever born of a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. Hey, Pastor, could you tell us a little bit about the characteristics of John the Baptist? The smoke started coming out of his ears. I'm not making it up. Smoke started coming out. And he picked up the ball and he continued to go. Didn't talk about John the Baptist because he had his prepared statement on the attributes of Jesus. And after the meeting, he walked by me. He says, "Hey, Coach, come up to the office a minute. Principal's office. I've been to the principal's office a few times. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know what he told me? Oh, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I walked in there. I kept my peace. He says, Coach, listen. He said, let me tell you something. You don't need to lead men. You need to follow men. Somebody say amen. That's the American church. That's the American church. Heaven forbid anybody sitting in the pew would have more gonads or more stones or more vision than the guy in the pulpit. Somebody say amen.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Lost and held down and controlled by sissy jean pussies. Sorry, not all of you. Not all of you. I know some good ones. And no, I'm not going to name them because I'll forget somebody. I know some good ones. But for the most part, the church is run by women. The church is run by women.
That's
why?
Right.
Because for the most part, women run the home. And for the most part, the man goes to church to keep peace in his home. Another good place to say amen. Another good place to say amen. And some of you listening to us right now, probably your men. Oh, no. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit just stopped me. Some of you women are doing everything you can to try to get your men to listen to the show, and they won't do it.
Amen.
Give me a thumbs
amen,
up.
Coach. Give me a thumbs amen. Up. Amen.
Because why? Because women want bold, godly men. And you go to church, and you ain't got a bold, godly man standing in the pulpit. You got a she-male. A she-male. Afraid to offend anybody, rubbing backs, making people feel good. I'm looking for a general. I'm looking for a general that's going to march me to war. And then said, we got a nursemaid.
Amen, Coach.
I'm going to shut up a minute. It's all over. It's all over me. Come on in, John Diamond.
Morning, Coach.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me how good your pastor is. Oh, he's the nicest guy, and we love him. So don't even. That's why we're getting our ass kicked. Go ahead, John.
Morning, Coach. How are you?
Awesome.
Hey, Sunday morning. Tagging on your message right there. You know, the media thing that we're doing that I talked to you about yesterday. Well, I showed him one of the award winners, and there's a young lady named Brittany. She's with the Media Research Council, a media watchdog group. And I showed the video she did on the hypocrisy between the way the media covers the Antifa and the riots over the summer and the way they covered what happened in DC. And I think she might've been a male because she had more gonads than most of the past. And I said it after I showed that, I said, you know what? This is sad that this little young lady has far more courage than most of the men sitting in this church. And I'm not really sure how that was received, but I hope it convicted them to realize that, you know, this woman is leading an example that, you know, you passive, timid, weak men, you know, I mean, I thank God for the Promise Keepers movement. Cause I mean, that's probably,
I don't anymore. I mean,
I mean, I came out of that. I was a lukewarm, John MacArthur's three chair video saved my life. Cause I was just a complacent lukewarm pew sitter until he said, you need to surrender your entire life to Christ. And that's why I'm at now. I'm not saying where it went from there. But the fact that men were being woke up, that's what you're trying to do. Yours is Promise Keepers on steroids. And that's what I'm trying to help you with, is to really to show what manliness, you know, like the founding fathers did, where it says, you know, they rejected with manly firmness the invasion of tyranny. The Promise Keepers movement fell into the same type of Jesus loves you apathy.
They handed it over to pastors. And look,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we need to pick that up from where it started in the very, very beginning to get Christian men and Christian warriors to stand up. So they want to fall back into complacency and those messages that'll just fill their plate. That's fine. We don't need that. We need to raise another movement of godly, faith-filled, spirit-filled men that'll actually confront the enemy.
Because the times require it. The times require it. Joe Allen, then Mike Heath. Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, my sons get married here in October, and we went down to Charleston down there to Joseph A. Bank suits, you know, to get men's fitted.
Yes, sir.
So we were in there for 2 hours. In those 2 hours, I noticed 14 women bringing their men in there to fit them with suits, not them coming in by themselves,
amen.
You know, and get themselves fitted. Their significant other brought them in there, amen. And they spoke for them to the suit guys that were doing the suits. Not the man speaking up. It was the woman speaking up.
Roger Weaver would tell you the problems he has in his office, I'm not talking out of school, as men won't be men. Men don't know how to be men in a marriage and in a relationship.
Dave, if you knew how many mothers bring in their 28-year-old sons.
Oh, craziness. Come on in, Mike Keith, then Rochelle, then Randy. Go ahead.
My proudest moments, Coach, going back 20 years, are finding you about 15 years ago because I was so discouraged by the pussification of the pulpits in Maine. You breathed life into me. I ended up resigning because of you, and I should have followed your advice, which was to force them to fire me, I now realize. But then I'm part of a Assemblies of God church, and a doctor in Boston decides to take a stand that gets himself fired after earning the place as one of the best urologists in the entire city of Boston, gets fired because he dares to stand up against the LGBTQ mob within Boston Children's Hospital, which is the hospital where my son was born. So I decide to give him an award in my local church, and I invite you to speak, and guess what happens? The pastor pussifies himself out. He becomes a coward because he thinks the press might come because you're coming. So he calls me on the phone and says, I'm canceling the event. This was like a week before the event. And I hung up on him and never went back.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Coach. It's all your fault.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Come on, Rochelle.
Good morning. Thanks, Coach. So I've got a son who's 21, and I'll tell you what, this generation is soft, and it's not, they start them off at 5 years old. Okay, sit in a chair, don't move, raise your hand. They turn them into little girls as soon as they get into school.
And all the teachers are girls, by the way. All their teachers are women.
Exactly. They don't have any males to look up to, and men are taught to be quiet. Unfortunately, men have been shut down. I was in the store the other day, and a man had a face mask on, and I never wear a mask. And he asked me, you know, why wasn't I worried about somebody saying something to me about not wearing a mask? And I found out this guy was a Marine. He was a Marine. He's had bullets fired at him, and he's still afraid of somebody saying something to him about a mask. I don't know how they've psyched out our young men not to be men. But once you start a movement and show what a strong man's look like, young men will follow you because there is a terrible hole in their soul and they don't know what to do.
Amen, Rochelle. Amen. Randy Lunsford. Come on in, Randy. Then Paul. Then Jared.
Coach, I went through this my whole life. Everywhere I'd go, every church, I'd try to, you know, get out there and engage the culture, and nobody would do it. And the last one, I sit in their one-year discipleship program and went through it. And, man, they loved me. I loved that we wore. And then at the end, I said, okay, man, you guys, let's go. Let's go. I go to the abortion clinics. Let's go out and do this. And they not one. They said, you need to sit down, man. You're too excited. We can't. Coach, you're equipped. What you're doing, you're equipping us to be the next generation. I talked to many men at the rally on the 6th. That were pastors that were there with their little flocks, and they were there. I talked to several of them, and they just, you know. So this is, we know what it is, but it's about over. I mean, the new people, the new shepherds are coming up. They're there. They're in place. They're getting equipped. I am very encouraged, Coach. I know what it looks like, but I know God has. He's got a group coming.
Amen, brother. I believe it too. I believe it too. Paul, come on in. I forgot who I said next. Paul, come on in.
Hey, Coach, that's a great message you gave there.
Everybody share it. Share it on your Facebook pages.
I will. I think it's awesome. Hey, this is funny. A couple of talking about men and all that. Did you happen to see the woman in New York that berated Schumer?
Yes, yes.
You know something? I said, where were the men in New York?
Amen. Amen. Where were the men? Where are the men?
He was so big and bad when he was on the Senate floor talking all this crap. Of course, he had people around him guarding him, but he just sat there like a little weasel.
What a weenie, just, huh?
Yeah, and then walked away when they asked him, squeak, 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 when he was walking away.
I'm going to say that, Lord?
No, go ahead, you're fine.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, it just shows. It's like that woman was bold. I mean, she wasn't afraid of nobody. And unfortunately, where were the men, you know?
Okay, I'm going to say
Thank you, Coach, for giving us a testosterone shot this morning.
Okay, here's what I was going to say, and the Holy Spirit stopped me, and I'm going to rephrase it, okay? I would bet a dollar to a donut that Chuck Schumer spends a lot of time watching pornography and masturbating. Now, Right Wing Watch is going to put that up there, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. Masturbation is a result of a loss of manhood. I'm just telling you the truth.
Amen. Technically.
Men do that because they feel like they're in control. They don't have to argue with a woman. They don't have to wonder if they're satisfying her. They can just look at pictures. And Chuck Schumer is probably one of those guys, if truth were to be known about him. Hey, Chuck, huh? This will be on Right Wing Watch, as sure as anything. As sure as anything. It's okay. Come on in, Jared.
Yeah, Spencer here. But I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, I'm 25 years old. I'm a young man, and I see that in a lot of my peers and stuff, that it's, we are wusses, my generation especially. We were raised to, it's okay to play with Barbie dolls. It's okay. You know, you're fine with that. And and unfortunately, I'm so sick of it. And in the last year, I've been trying to come up with a young men's group. And there's a lack of brotherhood today among young men. We're supposed to be an island. If we want to be a man, you got to be by yourself. But that's not true. Iron sharpens iron, and we're all meant to be brothers and be in this fight together. And so, so I'm totally on board with you, what you're saying, Coach.
Amen. And see, here's what's happening here, right here. Something's happening here. You know what's happening here? I know that Randy Lunsford has my back. I know that he does. I know Steve Deck has my back. I know Coach Norm has my back. I know that guys, I know that when we're going to go someplace and guys can't go, they feel guilty because they can't go. They sense the brotherhood and their need to be there to support their brothers. That's what Christian men are supposed to do and what we're supposed to be about. That's the deep gnawing inside every one of us. I've had young football players who we coached.
Amen.
And then they became businessmen, and they would tell me this. They say, Coach, listen, I went in the service. I did this. Coach, I've never, ever been around an environment like we had back in 1993 in that locker room. Men look for that their entire life, that deep, deep, masculine, manly intimacy that you can't find anyplace else, and it sure as hell isn't in the church. Come on in, Larry.
You know, I just wanted to say that although some people have an issue with Trump over some of his LGBT positions, he has held true to keeping anti-LGBT influence out of the military.
He has. You're right. He has done that. Trump just needs to be really, really deeply saved because he already has the balls. He already has them, right? He just needs Jesus. That's all. Pardon me on that, my growth. Listen, I ain't going to apologize for it. If you're watching and you're offended by what I just said, you're the problem. God, come on, Jim. Come on in, Jim.
Morning, Coach and team. Two things to Randy's point that he made earlier. There's a video that Ray Comfort Ministries had put out. It's called the Fellowship of the Fisherless Fishermen, where you talk about ministry, but you never do anything about it. Yep. And then, Coach, about the time John Diamond did the imprecatory prayers, I was doing the right thing. I reached out to my pastor. I said, hey, I want to tell the other men in our church about this. You know, watch a week's worth of shows. Well, he watched maybe one episode. He said, don't watch that guy. He's too charismatic, blah, blah, blah.
Well, praise the Lord.
But John Diamond, he likes you.
Okay. You shall know them by their fruit. Huh? I know them by their fruit. Praise the Lord. Dale, then Ohio Brett, then Glenn. Go, Dale.
Well, Coach, I just want to respond to what you said about Chuck Schumer. You know, this could be a miracle in the making. Right Wing Watch, if they posted what you said, it'll be the first truthful thing they have posted in a long time.
Amen. Maybe I'll get a call from Chuck. Huh? He won't come himself. He'll send somebody else. I promise you that. Come on in, Ohio Brett.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to encourage you as a leader, Coach. And as a former strong safety, I never even saw the band play because I was in the locker room at halftime and right. The cheerleaders doing their thing. But I'll tell you this, after we played the games and you coached them, I found out updates later that some of the people with the biggest balls and love of our programs were our cheerleaders and band members. So all of us on this team, we're here for a reason. Right. We all have different roles. And, Coach, I'm so glad to reconnect with you and do my small part on this team.
Hey, Brett, listen, folks, we will not win if men don't man up. I'm going to tell you, we're not going to win. We will not win if, as I said in the commentary, if we don't get an injection of testosterone into the Christian male, we ain't going to win. That's just the truth. We won't win. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Coach. You know, I just want to relate an experience that I had with the church, and this goes back probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, where after I had, you know, first met you from the conference in Dallas, you know, I tried to get you as a speaker at the church that we were attending at the time.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And you even sent me an outline of what you would, you know, what the agenda would be. And I submitted it to the pastor. And what did he tell me? Oh, you have to talk to so-and-so. He's a leader in the men's group. He coordinates this. So I started working with him. It took a year. And then, you know, I finally I lost my patience. I said, hey, listen, I'm just going to go to the pastor because you're not giving me an answer. And then once I said that, then he told me, well, we can't have him. Our agenda's filled for the year, so we're going to have to wait till next year. So yeah. That just told me that it wasn't going to happen.
Wildfire, Glenn. They don't want any wildfire. Heaven forbid if they can't control every man in there, make every man sit down and be quiet. And hey.
Yeah, but I couldn't get an answer directly from the pastor. You know, he just hid.
Yeah, well, here's my experience. Listen, a lot of good pastors out there. There are a lot of them. A lot of guys working without any notoriety. I salute those guys. I salute them. But many guys, you know, I have to say it, Lord, okay. There are many men who are in the pulpit today because from the time they became a pastor, they were boss. They got to be pastor, and they were the boss. And they are managers. They are not leaders. The job of a pastor is to keep the sheep herded, folks. Keep the sheep herded. That's what a pastor does. Keeps them all herded together, happy, living, working together. The pastorate in America today is not designed for bold Christian male leadership. I'm sorry, it is not designed for that. And if you go and you try to do what Glenn did, try to bring some life into your church, they're probably not going to accept it because why? They cannot control the reaction. They can't control the reaction. They're worried about the wildfire. Heaven forbid that Christian men would ever get on fire for Jesus. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm with you. I salute the pastors that are out there. But those imposters calling themselves pastors that in reality are satanic social club leaders, no, I have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, like I said, we need wartime pastors. We need wartime pastors. We don't have them. Yeah, come on, Craig.
I think the enemy knows the word of God better than God's people, because smite the shepherd and you scatter the flock.
Yes, sir. I do. Or put a muzzle on the pastor and you scatter the flock. Same thing. Silver, come on in.
Good morning, y'all. Coach, here we're talking about manly and relaying what you're trying to say in a way that people will understand it. Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to cuss a little. And I won't do it here, but I'm a submarine sailor. Trust me. We designed this stuff. We know how it works. All right. But I won't use it here. But this has been an awesome, awesome writing, and definitely something that I'm considering to record.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Listen, folks, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We think that means swearing. I see some of you want to get in. Just bear with me or something. Hey, folks, listen. Second commandment says, I think it's the second one. Not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Folks, that ain't got nothing to do with cussing. You think that's cussing? Taking the Lord's name in vain is representing him and not representing him. Saying that you're a soldier of the cross and not being a soldier. That's taking his name in vain. Vain means for no purpose, for no reason. Empty. And that anything to do with cussing.
Amen.
By the word way, when I said something about somebody's balls, can somebody tell me what's vulgar about that? Would it be less vulgar if I said testicles? If I used a technical term, would it be less vulgar? I'm sorry. I talk like a man, okay? I talk like a man.
Yeah, it's very simple. You know, the words are there to you, right? What are you supposed to say? And we should be offended by the actual actions of the street and not the stupid words. Kids being killed every day, kids being raped, all this stuff happening, and we're worried about words.
Yeah, if we go to, as I said in the commentary, the five things I listed: child trafficking, abortion, destruction of marriage. If we were as angry as that stuff was, as people were mad the fact that I used the word damn, if they got as mad about the dying of babies as me saying shit, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth.
Amen, Coach.
And it's the domestication, is that right? It's the turning men into sissies. That's our greatest concern. Jeff, jump in there. Go ahead.
Real quick, let me give a definition. Weenies.
Weenies.
Flaccid penis.
Good one, Joe. Jeff, come on in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're referencing Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But I want to say, use it in the proper context.
Use everything in a proper context, right? Use everything in a proper context. Listen, I understand civility. I understand manners. I understand, right? I get it. If I in any way... offend the Lord, that's between me and the Lord. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm going to be good honest with you. I don't care if I offend you. I'm sorry if you're offended, but I don't care if you're offended. Does that make sense? I don't. Jesus was known as the rock of offense. Do you know that? The rock of offense. John the Baptist offended people every place he went. He offended people. How? By saying stuff they didn't want to hear, right? So I'm sorry if you're offended, but I'm not really sorry. That's a lie. I'm sorry I lied. I'm not sorry.
Yeah, well, John the Baptist, he really got on the case, on the nerves of Herod, didn't he?
He sure did. He sure cost him his head.
In the temple, he kicked over a table. I'm sure they were offended, weren't they?
I'm sure half of the disciples who were fishermen, I bet you they never said a tough word.
Nope. I'm sure they didn't either, Roger. And I came out of a locker room where, like Joseph said, they created language. You ever been around those guys that created language, created cuss words? I've been around all of them, man. Listen, it's out of the heart, right? It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not the words. It's what's in the heart when you say them. Hey, listen, real quickly. Putting up on our website today Alex Jones' interview with Steve Pachinik yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. It may not be up there yet, but it's going to be up there soon, and I ask you to watch it. I had a little thing from Dutch Sheets yesterday that I thought was really, really appropriate. I was going to play today, and the topic of it was disinformation. Folks, listen. Stay hunkered down. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the cross. Listen, hear, but don't give life to everything. Don't give life to everything you hear. Don't give life to every story. Don't give life to it. Trust in the Lord in all your way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all of your way, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So if you can find somewhere out there, maybe Mike and Sheldon can throw, Spencer can throw it in the chat real quick. This thing from Dutch Sheets. Beware of disinformation. I think it's really, really good. Hey, sorry if I cussed. Not really. See you tomorrow.